Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, September 16th, Pope Francis highlights the important call to serve the Church entrusted to lay associations, ecclesial movements and new communities. Human rights observers draw attention to crimes committed by forces engaged in conflict in Ethiopia's Tigray region, and the UN calls for joint efforts to address the climate change emergency on the International Day for the Preservation of the Ozone Layer. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. Pope Francis today met with the moderators of associations of the faithful, ecclesial movement and new communities. The Holy Father urged them to go out toward the people on the existential peripheries and warn them of the dangers of the desire for power. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Pope Francis opened his discourse by thanking all those present for being there, and thank you for your presence as lay men and women, young and old, committed to living and witnessing to the gospel in the ordinary realities of life, in your work, in so many different contexts. This is the vast field of your apostolate. It is your evangelization, added the Pope. Pope Francis noted that the decree on international associations of the faithful, promulgated on the 11th of June this year, urges us to accept some changes and to prepare the future from the present. He noted that the theme of their meeting, the responsibility of governance in lay associations and ecclesial service, is important not only for each of you, but for the whole Church. The Pope stressed the importance of the tasks of governance entrusted to the members in the lay groups, describing them as being nothing other than a call to serve. But what does it mean for a Christian to serve, asked the Pope. On a number of occasions, he said he has pointed out two obstacles that a Christian may encounter on his or her journey and which may prevent him or her from becoming a true servant of God and of others. The first is the desire for power, began the Pope. Our desire for power is expressed in many ways in the life of the Church, for example, when we believe, by virtue of the role we have, that we have to take decisions on all aspects of the life of our associations, and we delegate tasks and responsibilities for certain areas to others, but only in theory. The Pope went on to highlight another obstacle to true Christian service, disloyalty, he said. We encounter it when someone wants to serve the Lord, but also serves other things that are not the Lord. It is a bit like playing a double game, warned the Pope. He explained that we fall into the trap of disloyalty when we present ourselves to others as the sole interpreters of the charism, the sole heirs of our association or movement, or again when we claim to decide a priori who our successor should be. No one is master of the gifts received for the good of the Church. No one should stifle them, said the Pope. Concluding his speech, the Pope stressed that we are living members of the Church, and for this we need to trust in the Holy Spirit. It is for this reason that the trust in the discernment of charisms is entrusted to the authority of the Church. Be aware of the apostolic power and prophetic gift that are handed over to you today in a renewed way, he said. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Church in Central and Eastern Europe is gearing up to come together for a conference on the safeguarding of minors and vulnerable adults in the Church. The four-day event will take place in Warsaw, Poland, and will see some 80 participants from 20 nations across the region. Devin Watkins has more.
The Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors sent out a press release on Thursday to announce details about the upcoming safeguarding conference. The event kicks off on Sunday and runs through Wednesday in the Polish capital of Warsaw. It is being held under the theme, Our Common Mission of Safeguarding God's Children. Representatives of bishops' conferences from nearly 20 nations in Central and Eastern Europe will take part, along with professionals who work in the field of child and youth protection. According to the press statement, leaders from local churches and delegates will examine their response to the crisis of sexual abuse of minors while evaluating the impact of the regional context on the issue. Participants will hear experts share their experience regarding prevention, intervention, and to showcase practices already adopted and in use in other parts of the Church. One main goal of the Warsaw Conference will be to encourage the exchange of experiences and promote networking among Church representatives engaged in the protection of minors. Those present will seek to establish better systems to exchange information and share resources in a dialectic of mutual learning. Cardinal Sean O'Malley, president of the Pontifical Commission, said in the communique that the Warsaw Conference aims to help local church leaders in safeguarding the most vulnerable. Our commission travels to Warsaw to be with the churches in Central and Eastern Europe, he said, to listen to them, learn about their reality, and help them chart a course forward. The Cardinal also recognized the courage of those who have suffered abuse by the clergy and spoken out. It is because of their courage that others can be spared from experiencing this horror, he said, There is no place or group of people that is immune to being impacted by this crime and sin. Cardinal O'Malley called on church leaders to continue a journey of learning which continues throughout life. Conversion to a culture of safeguarding, said the Cardinal, is an urgent priority. I'm Devin Watkins.
Human rights observers are claiming that Eritrean soldiers and Tigrayan militias in Ethiopia's northern region of Tigray have perpetrated attacks that amount to war crimes. Linda Bordoni has that story.
Human Rights Watch released a report that describes detailed attacks around two camps in Tigray, where local forces have battled the Ethiopian government and their Eritrean allies since November. The report, published on Tuesday, is based on interviews with refugees and other sources, including satellite imagery. It lists killings, rapes, and looting against the displaced people. Tens of thousands of Eritrean refugees live in Tigray, a mountainous and poor province of about 5 million people. Eritrean authorities have previously denied atrocities and said their forces have not attacked civilians. But a spokesperson for the Tigray People's Liberation Front said formal, uniformed Tigrayan forces have only recently moved into the area and that it was possible abuses were committed by local militias. He said, however, that international investigators were welcome to visit the sites. Prior to the Tigray conflict, Ethiopia hosted around 150,000 Eritrean refugees fleeing poverty and an authoritarian government. Much of Human Rights Watch's report focuses on two camps that were destroyed during the recent fighting. And according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, over 7,500 out of 20,000 refugees that were living in those camps are currently missing. The UNHCR also said it was appalled at the reports of immense suffering in the refugee camps, which it noted it was unable to access from November to March. The violence and severe food shortages in the camps have reportedly forced some refugees to return to Eritrea, while others have fled to other camps that have also been looted and attacked. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Communal tensions between India's majority Hindus, its Christians, Muslims and other religious minorities have led to much concern for intolerance, segregation and lack of respect for the identity of minority communities, including Christians. A recent report by the Pew Research Center found 9 in 10 Indian adults say they feel free to practice their religion, but it also found a fair amount of support for religious segregation. It was generally agreed that the report does not adequately reflect the ground reality in India, particularly with its increasingly emerging narrative of polarization. Sister Maria Nirmalini is the recently elected Superior General of the Congregation of the Apostolic Carmel, whose charism is in education. She told Vatican Radio that religious freedom is indeed a huge issue in the nation, but that the reality on the ground differs enormously from state to state.
This situation in India, I think it's with all governments, they make very tall claims and promises, but it's the people at the grassroots level who need to implement. And sometimes there is no implementation at the grassroots level. If there's a good leader at the local level, things will move. But if not, like Just a couple of months ago, I have opened a new mission just about 100 and odd kilometers from New Delhi. I did that. I'm putting up a school there it's going to be a school for girls and boys, but largely for girls, because the birth of a girl child is not welcomed in a state of Punjab and Haryana. So you still have such stories. And even if they are born, then they are from day one told that you are meant for only household chores and not for education. Education is for the man. So I, in my small way, I'm putting up that school largely to educate the girls and say, no, it's for you as well. And we are more interested in seeing that you are educated. So there are places where education has picked up in some part, but there's still much to be done in case of female education.
That was Sister Maria Nirmalini, Superior General of the Apostolic Carmel Congregation. The United Nations today marks International Day for the Preservation of the Ozone Layer. The UN World Meteorological Organization made use of this September 16 observance to release a report titled United in Science 2021, a compilation of six UN bodies and scientific organizations of the latest climate science information that gives a unified assessment of the state of our Earth system. The report says that the pace of climate change has not been slowed by the global COVID-19 pandemic, and the world remains behind in its battle to cut carbon emissions. The WMO report comes ahead of two crucial conferences, the UN Biodiversity Conference in Kunming, China in October, and the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, Scotland in November. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres delivered a video message at the release of the report this morning in Geneva. Here's an excerpt of what he said.
We have reached the tipping point on the need for climate action. The disruption to our climate and our planet is already worse than we thought, and it is moving faster than predicted. Yet, we are far from meeting the goals of the five-year-old Paris Agreement. This report shows just how far off course we are. The past five-year period is among the hottest on record. We continue to destroy the things on which we depend for life on Earth. Ice caps and glaciers continue to melt, sea level rise is accelerating, the ocean is dying and biodiversity is collapsing. Greenhouse gas concentrations continue to rise to new record highs. And the results are plain to see, affecting health, lives and livelihoods everywhere. We now have five times the number of recorded weather disasters than we had in 1970, and they are seven times more costly. Even the most developed countries have become vulnerable. These events would have been impossible without human-caused climate change. Costly fires, floods, and extreme weather events are increasing everywhere. These changes are just the beginning of worse to come. Unless there are immediate, rapid, and large-scale reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, we will be unable to limit global heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius, and the consequences will be catastrophic. This report by the United Nations and Global Scientific Partner Organization is clear. We really are out of time. We must act now to prevent further irreversible damage. COP26 this November must mark that turning point. By then, we need all countries to commit to achieve net zero emissions by the middle of this century and to present clear, credible, long-term strategies to get there. This report makes clear that our climate has already changed and the climate-related risks are increasing rapidly. It is urgent that we step up efforts to protect people and their livelihoods, particularly in the most vulnerable countries that have been hit simultaneously by climate disruption, COVID-19, and crashing levels of debt.
And finally, thousands of Salvadorans took to the streets on Wednesday to protest against President Nayib Bukele, who they accuse of a power grab aimed at weakening democratic institutions and consolidating his grip on power. At the heart of their complaints is the recent law-making Bitcoin legal tender alongside the US dollar and the firing in May of the judges on the constitutional panel of the Supreme Court, as well as the then Attorney General. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.